Luke chapter 3, verse 23. And when he was about 30, Jesus began his ministry, and it was commonly understood that he was the son of Joseph. Luther's hymns are found in Catholic hymnals, but the Catechism of the Catholic Church makes no mention of him. Turn around is always fair play, and hence no Lutheran congregation is named for Saint Joseph, the patron saint of the Catholic Church. In Christmas pageants, he has the role of a supporting actor. But in Roman piety, he is included in the invocation, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. The Cherry Tree Christmas Carol calls him an old man with the implication that he could not have fathered any children by his young wife. Complete fabrication. To Mary's request for cherries, Joseph turns out to be downright nasty. He responds that the real father of her child should provide them, and of course the tree bends over to give her the cherished fruit. It is a matter of too much Joseph, too little Joseph, or the wrong Joseph. While we might be uncomfortable in calling Jesus the son of Joseph, this is what the Bible says. Jesus was commonly known as the son of Joseph. The census listed a man as the son of his father and not his mother. James, Joseph, Jude, and Simon were not known as the sons of Mary and Joseph, and Jesus singled out as the son of Mary, who also happened to be the son of God. All were known as Joseph's sons. Mary knew that Jesus was the son of God, but she must have pushed that to the back of her mind when she scolded Jesus for troubling his father Joseph. Mary was no different from the rest of us Christians in letting ordinary matters extinguish faith. Confessing that this one son of Joseph was really the son of God was not a flesh and blood matter, but a recognition given only by the true father of Jesus. A few things should be straightened out about Joseph. But Joseph was young enough to expect an ordinary marriage. His desire to privately divorce Mary was not an act of moral indication, but like his namesake in Genesis, it was an act of forgiveness. On that account, he is called righteous. Joseph was not a day worker, but he resembled more of a building contractor. Dominic Crossan is off base in titling his historical Jesus, The Life of a Mediterranean Peasant. Joseph's family were not peasants. The high literary style of the book written by Joseph's son James certainly suggests that he was able to let his sons take advantage of the high Hellenistic learning at the nearby town of Sepphora, where he might have also found work. The Bible provides ample evidence that James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude were blood brothers of that one man with whom only spiritual relationship counts. Paul called James the brother of Jesus, and he does not mean his cousin. And Jude claims to be the brother of James, and this does not mean his cousin. The ossuary sets things right with the words on the side, James, the son of Joseph, the brother of Jesus. Robert Preuss had four sons who became ministers. Walter Meyer has two sons who became ministers. Joseph had at least three: Jesus, James, and Jude. We might find good reasons for ignoring Joseph. He was not the real father of Jesus. We know that. He is not as important as Mary and the apostles. We know that too. But the Holy Ghost puts him front and center In the first two chapters of Matthew, and slightly off-center in Luke, but not by much. In Matthew, Joseph's genealogy introduces Jesus, which gives Jesus the claim to being the son of David like no one else before him could be. Like the Genesis Joseph, the father of the New Testament Joseph is also called Jacob. Through the dreams of both Josephs, the Old Testament and the New Testament, God rescues Israel from her enemies. Jesus is, after all, the true Israel, and we Christians are Israel only because we are in Jesus. Our evangelical brothers almost force faith in asking their listeners to make decisions for Christ. This may not be the right way to do that kind of thing. Faith simmers before it sprouts, and it sprouts before it blossoms. And it blossoms before it bears fruit. Evangelistic programs too often prove to be ineffective stimuli. Joseph and Mary's less illustrious sons became convinced of their siblings' credentials only after the resurrection. But for some, the word of God has to simmer in the ground longer before it sprouts. Dr. Just believes that the two Emmaus disciples were Cleopas, the brother of Joseph, and that the unknown disciple was his son Simon. But that unknown disciple could have been Joseph himself. These two disciples regarded Jesus as a prophet who was going to redeem Israel. But even the allegation and the evidence that he had risen from the dead was not enough to turn knowledge into faith. Evidences can only go so far. You know the rest of the story. The man who sat at Joseph's table and ate his food since he was a child now sat at that table in Emmaus to give those two disciples the bread that never perishes. And in receiving the Holy Communion, they immediately recognized who Jesus really was. And from that time on, no believer could call Jesus the son of Joseph. Jesus was the Lord, the Son of God. The table fellowship in Emmaus might have convinced Joseph that he had to become anonymous in the post-Easter church. It was an honor to have been considered the father of Jesus and to have been his guardian. But those roles had to be sublimated so that Jesus could be recognized as who he really was, the Son of God. And so it is with all the servants of God. We are here for only a little while to do a task, and then someone takes our place. If it was Paul who first said, "I must decrease and Christ must increase," Joseph knew it before Paul did.